Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. I want to make a comment on the book of Jude. As you know, it's one chapter long, and it is a powerful one chapter. Each and every verse is so very loaded with divine revelation. Notice the book of Jude, one will observe, if you honestly read it, it assures us via and using biblically historical accounts that fallen angels and men who once knew the Lord can be later vanquished. We have many examples, and he refers to them specifically in this chapter, this one chapter, Jude. They can be vanquished into eternal damnation for their rebellion. These are angels, he begins with, and who were once with the Lord. In fact, Lucifer himself seems to have led the praise and worship. He was made by God with tabrets and instruments inside of him. Ezekiel chapter 28. And him and one-third of the angels were ejected from eternal glory for their rebellion. Notice they were right with God, and they were rejected. See, God doesn't keep apostates and those who are traitors within His family. It doesn't matter what you believe. It matters what the Word of God says. In fact, let me go so far as to say, and I say this as a man, you got to screw loose if you think you can live any way you like after being genuinely saved and that you're still secure for heaven. That is delusional, and you've been misled. And the reason why people are misled is because they will not repent themselves and take personal accountability before a holy God for their own sins. And that should be the sins that should concern us the most are our own. But when you buy the lie that you're automatically going to heaven because you were once saved, you know, the fear of God is gone. Doesn't matter what you profess, you don't fear God. If you feared God, you'd take Him at His word, and you wouldn't have believed that lie in the first place. 2 Timothy 4 verse 3 says the time will come when they will not endure, that means to hold themselves accountable to sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they will be turned away from the truth and turned to fables or stories. So Jude begins giving examples of those who are fallen after he warns us to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints against those false teachers, those ungodly men, quote unquote, who are crept in unawares. They pose as one of us, but they're actually wolves in sheep's clothing. And these people do something that he points out specifically. They're turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So the way they deny the only Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ is by turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, which means a license for sin. Then he gives examples of how those who, and if that isn't once saved, always saved, directly addressed, then nothing is. And that certainly is. In fact, this was the first lie Satan ever told. In the Garden of Eden, God had told a man and a woman that they could eat of all the trees, but if they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they would surely die. Die always means be separated. And that's exactly what happened to them. But the way it happened is Satan came back, chapter 3, verse 4 of Genesis, and said, "Thou shalt not surely die." He added one three-letter word that led to the fall of mankind. You know, the Bible says Satan doesn't have any new tricks. He uses those things which are common to man, all the way from the garden. He still tells men that they are eternally secure. That's the first instance of the once saved, always saved, or perseverance of the saints, is what the Calvinists call it, or eternal security doctrine originated. It is a doctrine of devils. If it's not a doctrine of devils, then nothing is. And that's irrefutable. In fact, we got a book. It's a 730-page blockbuster called Lie of the Ages. It's available on safeguardyoursoul.com and also Amazon. So Jude tells us, commands us, mandates that we earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares. Certain men. This would be the evangelical OSAS, or once saved, always saved, eternal security, vile, demonic Calvinists and their perseverance of the saints heresy. Same thing, basically. These are the certain men we can mark, according to Romans 16, 17, and 18. And they were of old ordained to this condemnation. God ordained that these men would be judged and they would be condemned eternally. These are ungodly men. Notice the Holy Spirit says through Jude, ungodly men, ungodly men. Anybody teaching this lie of lasciviousness, once saved, always saved, is one of the names it goes by. Eternal security is the most popular name it goes by, is an ungodly man that is leading people to let down their guard, to not be holy as he's holy, to live in a licentious lifestyle. When Adam and Eve were lied to by Satan, Genesis 2:17 and 3:4, compare them, that robbed the fear of God out of their hearts, and they took the bait, and they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and fell from grace, and were ushered out of the presence of God. They were spiritually dead after being perfectly in communion with God with no sin. The wages of sin is still death, saints. God is, and always has been, and always will be, holy, holy, holy. And God cuts loose and ejects people from his kingdom if they go back into sin and unrepentant and do not acknowledge their sins. They cover them. And the way they cover them is through this very lie Jude is pointing out. They are told, and they, instead of reading and believing God's word, they sit under these false teachers who continually condition them to believe that they have assurance of salvation and that they're eternally secure. You see, they believe those deceivers, those wolves, instead of the word of God, instead of sitting at the feet of Jesus by studying his word and declaring with Paul the apostle, "Let God be true and every man a liar." So this is what leads to people falling, just like it did in the Garden of Eden. The book of Genesis is the book of origins. Everything in the Bible is rooted in the book of Genesis. And so since God's holy, 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 Revelation 4:8, Isaiah 6:3, he ushered and kicked out Adam and Eve out of his presence, out of the garden of God, that he, this pristine Garden of Eden, paradise, if you will, that he created them in and to fellowship with him, who is holy, holy, holy. But when they chose to disobey him, they were put out of his presence. They had to be restored. And so here we have ungodly men, he calls them, these that teach this lie of lasciviousness. And by doing so, they're denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. That is a severe statement upon anyone preaching the lie of eternal security. Then he gives examples, Jude. He says, "I will therefore put you in remembrance." In other words, let's go on a little historical revisitation to some things here. "Though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt," that represents the world, he saved his people out of Egypt. When he saved us out of sin and out of the world. There's only two kingdoms, the kingdom of the world and the kingdom of Jesus Christ. light and darkness. Having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward, notice salvation, he saved them out of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Notice, there are those who fall away. They believe for a time, Jesus said, and in time of temptation, they fall away. They do not continue with the Lord. Fall away is a term that was invented and originally first used by the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke 8:13, Jesus said, "They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root." Notice they receive the word, and in verse 12, he said they were saved. They receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which, notice this, makes it more than crystal clear that they were believers, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. So a couple of things here. Though they believe, they receive the word with joy, and they believe. Fact. Son of God, Luke 8:13. And then, as if it wasn't clear enough, in a time of temptation they fall away. Fall away. How can you fall away from something you don't possess? Something you're not on? If I'm not standing on a chair, I can't fall away from that chair. I'm not on it. But if I am on that chair, I can fall off of it or away from it. Very clear. Jesus made it clear, the Son of God, that you can fall away after being saved. Luke 8:13. So Jude, the Holy Spirit through Jude, warns us that after God saved his people out of the land of Egypt, afterward he destroyed them that believed not. You can look that up in Numbers. It's one of the instances where in Numbers 13 and 14, also Numbers chapter 16 and 25, absolutely, how God cut off his own covenant people when they sinned against him. Verse 6, Jude, "And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day." So first, I made a mistake earlier. First, he gives example of the people of God falling away and how God, who saved them, then destroyed those who believed not. Then he addresses, notice, the angels. So two words underlined in each of these verses, Jude 5 and 6, it would be the people in verse 5 and the angels in verse 6. And both parties were part of God's kingdom and later believed not, backslid, went back into sin, and were destroyed by the same God who saved them. In fact, Peter said it were better for them not to have known. He's talking about false teachers in specific, and the 2 Peter 2. It was better for them not to have known, not to have known the way of righteousness, after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. It were better for them never to have known the Lord than to know him and then turn away from him. For the latter end, he said, is going to be worse with them than the beginning. They're going to suffer greater torment in hell than those who had never known the Lord while they were on earth, in that they had known him, had tasted of the heavenly gift of eternal life, and then trampled underfoot the blood of the Son of God. This is a severe warning. So verse 6, Jude, "And the angels which kept not the first estate," see, they were in heaven, the one third that had rebelled with Lucifer and departed, were kicked out violently by the Lord, Luke 10:18. And so when they rebelled, they did not keep their first estate. They had estates, or the place of sonship, if you will. I don't know, not angels think we'd use sonship, but membership in the family of God, if you will, permanently until they chose to sin and they were kicked out. They were booted. And somebody might say, "Well, I'm sealed until the day of redemption." Well, you better go look that word sealed up. You've been sold a bill of goods on that one. They all act, these OSAS, eternal securities, all act like, "Man, I got you on this. We're sealed." How many envelopes have you opened lately? They were sealed, weren't they? Whoever said you can't break a seal? Go look in the Greek. Sealed means stamped. That doesn't mean you can't be unsealed or unstamped. In fact, the same word, Greek word for sealed, in Ephesians is the same word for sealed, we find in Matthew 27:66, I believe it is, where Jesus' tomb was sealed. But we all know that tomb was not indelibly sealed, because that seal was broken when the Son of God, the stone was rolled away and the Son of God raised from the dead. And if you don't believe that, you're not saved. So seals can be broken. It's such a ridiculous, self-serving, diabolical, demonic interpretations people make and butcher the word of God. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, that is, with God, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. And then he gives the example of Sodom and Gomorrah, and how God destroyed them for their sins. So the wages of sin is still death. Romans 6:23. Eternal hell is already full and will forever be full of people who got saved while on earth but didn't endure to the end. Man, Jesus said you got to, and he told his own people, that's us, if you're born again and abiding in Christ, that you must endure to the end to be saved. Matthew 10:22 and 24:13. And anyone who's not preaching that you have to endure to the end to be saved is misleading you. In the scriptures, we clearly have initial and final salvation. Not just initial, but final salvation. Somebody said, Jesus is the author and finisher of my faith. Yeah, and Jesus also said that if you don't abide in him after being in him, you're going to be cast into the fire. You're going to hell, man. John 15:6. See, there's a lot of dishonest people when they study the Bible. They refuse to consider it all. Their minds have been focused on certain things, and they automatically reject a whole lot of script, mountains of scripture, because they just can't possibly believe that they've been lied to all these years. They don't want to know the truth. They're comfortable and lukewarm in their sins. They do not want to come to the realization, the reality, that they must truly lay down their life in repentance, deny themselves, and take up their cross and follow Jesus. These are those that Paul said are enemies of the cross of Christ. Philippians 3:18 and 19. Anyone who denies this biblical truth that you must endure to the end to be saved in Christ, that's not a work salvation. That's simply obeying the one who saved you. And if you don't do that, it's because you don't have saving faith. You're like the demons. They believe in God and tremble. They're not saved. James 2:19. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. 1 John 2:4. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Titus 1:16. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being reprobate, right? And unto every good, being in rebellion or something like that, and unto every good work reprobate. Let me read that. Titus 1:16, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him. Their works do not coincide with their profession. But in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. 1 John 3:18, beloved, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Show me your faith by your good works, James said, James 2. So the Lord only grants the heart assurance of saving grace to those who literally obey him. So many teachers, false teachers, constantly trying to put band-aids on and cover up to try to compensate for the lies they're telling people, and trying to get in their head, that's the key word, that they can have assurance of salvation. And the reason why they're doing that is because these people don't have assurance of salvation. Why? They're not living the life. They're lukewarm. They're not walking with Jesus as he prescribed. And in other words, you must walk with him, which begins with repentance, putting your faith in him, denying yourself, taking up your cross, and following him, losing your life in this world that you might gain it. And that's the only way you can gain it, is to lose it. Luke chapter 9, 23 and 24, chapter 14, verse 33, chapter 17, verse 33, etc. You got to get lost in Christ. And so that's why they don't have any assurance of salvation, because only God, read the book of 1 John, only God can assure your hearts. And he's only going to do that as you obey him. Period. 1 John, read it. So notice what Jesus said after some people believed on him. John 8, 31 and 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. If, notice Jesus didn't say, you're once saved, always saved. Hallelujah. No, indeed. The apostles never did that either. The Bible is completely void of any of God's men telling people that they're automatically, unconditionally, eternally secure. Once saved, always saved, never appears in the Bible, or eternal security, other than coming out of the mouth of Satan and his false teachers. And Jude just told us that. These are ungodly men who are turning, through their false teachings, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness or license to sin. Also Jeremiah 23, 17, etc. Amos 9, 10. The false prophets of the old covenant assured, book of Ezekiel, peace, peace, you know, you're going to have peace. When they were living in sin, they lied to the people. So instead of these false teachers today teaching that men must repent and be born again and completely trust God, follow Jesus by denying themselves, taking up their cross, living the crucified life daily and following him. Instead of them teaching the Bible that God commands them, not the preacher, but God commands them, be ye holy for I am holy. And all of these scriptures, that's the original gospel message. But instead of them teaching the people the raw, naked, original gospel, thank God for the King James Bible. You don't have to be deceived. You will, though, if you don't study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So instead of them teaching the truth that makes men free and cleanses their hearts of all fear and gives them assurance, they teach them the lie that puts them in a place of insecurity and a lack of assurance by the Holy Spirit, bearing witness with their spirit, because he's only going to do that to those who live in the truth, not just those that had a one-time moment of faith. That's where it starts. That's a glorious thing when he brings us there. But look what he says here. Go back to when you were first saved. What if Jesus would have appeared to you and told you these words? We know the Son of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's unchanging. Hebrews 13:8. Well, guess what? The Son of God is telling you right now these same words. After you believe that, so you've been born again. You've been, I've been also. That's our audience here. And he said, feed my sheep. That's the first priority for us. He says this to those who have believed. Doesn't matter if it was a moment ago or a month ago or 20, 30, 50 years ago. It doesn't matter. The message is still the same. And here it is. If, that's conditional, that denotes condition every time. If you continue, now that you believe, if you continue in my word, if you continue in my word. Remember we just talked about how Jesus taught that you must endure to the end to be saved. You must abide or continue in him or you're going to be cast into the fire. It's consistent throughout the teachings of Christ and his apostles. If you continue in my word, now that you're saved, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And one of the things that the truth makes you free from when you obey it, you continue in the word of God, doing it, it eradicates and vanquishes the fear, the lack of assurance. So many of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Many of you have contacted me and said you got set free from this diabolical heresy of eternal security. And so you know how this stuff works, how they condition you to believe that you're eternally secure no matter what. And some of these guys hammer that week after week, and this people are still not secure. Why? Because they're not obeying Christ. James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, he is going to be with me. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. If you're not a doer of the word, you're as sure for hell as if you were already there. Today's your day to repent, to return to the Lord. If you want a divine assurance that God alone can give you of salvation in your heart. Obey the God you claimed saved you. Obey Him. Nothing replaces obedience. There are no shortcuts in the kingdom of God, although most pastors are preaching shortcuts and eliminating the conditions. God's blessings are conditional, not unconditional. All other assurance is a farce peddled by the eternal security devils. That's what they are. You can tell them I said it. I hope you do. Run for your life, beloved. So many seek for the assurance of their salvation. Many of them are being told by wolves in sheep's clothing that because they had that one moment of faith in the past, that they are eternally secure in Christ, no matter what they do, how they live. These are the very and exact ungodly men that the Holy Spirit, through Jude, warned us about, who are, quote, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, which again means license for sin. Again, let me repeat what I said at the onset. The book of Jude, I want you to study the book of Jude and share it with others, assures via biblically historical accounts that fallen angels and fallen men, people that once in the Lord, could be later vanquished into eternal hell for their rebellion. And he gives a list of examples in Jude. Anyone who doesn't know that salvation is conditional instead of unconditional, and that those saved must endure to the end to be saved, are ignorant. They are ignorant. You must endure to the end to be saved. Those who had believed, he said, you got to continue in my word to be my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. 1 Corinthians 15:1-2, the Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthian believers, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Very clear. Jesus taught, in your patience, perseverance, that is, possess ye your souls. In other words, it's essential that you persevere to the end. He taught this over and over and over. Remember the parable of the 10 virgins. Notice they were all espoused to the bridegroom. That's Jesus. But only 5 made it into the eternal bride chamber, Matthew 25:1-13. 5 of them became lukewarm. They did not endure to the end. They ran, therefore, they didn't seek the Lord and continue to seek Him and obey Him, trust Him, worship Him, put Him first as first love. And therefore, they ran out of oil and their lamp no longer had light. Fuel and light, fuel from heaven, and the light of heaven, which is the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. And therefore, they were rejected by the great bridegroom, who is Christ. The door was shut in their faith. They were sealed out of the eternal bridal chamber with Jesus. So let's close with this. I recently received an email. Someone said, quote, I have backslidden. What do I need to do? Great question. First off, you must repent. You must turn back to God afresh and be accountable to obey God and not men. Acts 5:29, we must obey God rather than men. Also, you must cry out to God to possess you with His holy fear. Unite my heart to fear Thy name. Psalm 86, unite my heart to fear Thy name. What a prayer. Hallelujah. Want to encourage you. In fact, everybody I pray for every morning by name, I ask the Lord to help us and to bless us to unite our hearts to fear His holy name. Amen. That is Psalm 86:11. Also, I gave him a reference in the words of Jesus, Luke 12:4-5. Jesus said, I tell you who it is that you shall fear. Fear Him who after, that's God the Father, after He has killed you, I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear Him which after He hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear Him. That's Luke 12:5. Also, I shared with him, I said, I want to encourage you to, after you've repented, to write King James Bible scriptures on index cards with the references so that you can continue in the Word of God. As Jesus said, you must to be His disciple. Let thine heart retain my words. Proverbs 4:4. Begin meditating on the Word of God. Begin memorizing it. Begin prayerfully poring over it. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law, the Word of God, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Also memorize Galatians 1:10. Paul said, if I yet feared men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Galatians 1:10. Also, I asked him, do you want to be, or will you choose to be, a wise or a foolish, eternally damned, that is, virgin, believer in the sight of the Lord? Matthew 25:1-13. We must lay an axe to the root of all of our sins. Them must lay down our lives and follow Christ through the cross life every day. Notice Ezekiel 18:30. Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Ezekiel 18:30. God bless you, friends. I want to encourage you to avail yourself to the rich, scripture-rich, Christ-centered resources on safeguardyoursoul.com. And please continue to pray for the supply of this outreach. Thank you. God bless you. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.